I want you to open to 1 Kings chapter 15 as we begin today, where verse number 32 reports there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. We are basically about 23 or so years into the divided kingdom period. So only about 23 years after the death of King Solomon. And the northern kingdom has already gone through several kings of the Jeroboam dynasty. And the most recent one, the last one of that dynasty, was assassinated by this man here named Baasha. Now, the southern kingdom remains in the hands of the dynasty of King David, exactly as God promised. But there is fighting between the two dynasties, between the two kingdoms. And it's all about this border region that goes through the area just north of Jerusalem and south of Beth-El. And there will be continued arguments and debates about that for quite some time. Now, Baasha is not a good guy, but Asa is. He is a righteous man, and he tries to do things properly. And so about 15 years or so into Asa's kingdom. So we're talking about 906 BC, I believe. His kingdom gets invaded from the southwest. And this would be from Ethiopians, which would be related to the Egyptian kingdom. And the way that he deals with it indicates the type of heart that King Asa has. So for this one, I invite you to go to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 14, verse number 8, where it says that Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, armed with large shields and spears, and 280,000 men from Benjamin that carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. Now that means that his army, his militia force, is bigger than Rehoboam's was just a few years earlier. Because I think he was able to field about 400, and here we have 680,000 that are represented. But verse number 9 says, Zerah, the Ethiopian. Now, Ethiopia is down south of Egypt, and they have access to the Red Sea as an access point. And also, if they are in good relationship to the Egyptians, they could pass up by land through the Sinai Peninsula. So Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and came as far as Marashah. So this is approaching Jerusalem from the southwest. Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up their lines of battle in the valley of Zarephath at Marashah. And Asa cried to he who is his God, Oh, he who is, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O he who is our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O he who is, you are our God, let not man prevail against you. So those words give you some sense of his heart. He believes that this is God's land, and this is God's people, and he is God's king. and they're being invaded, and according to the promise of God in His Scripture, if they will just call upon His name and trust Him, He will intervene. So Asa is a man of faith, and because of that, God responds accordingly. Verse number 12. So he who is defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So even though the Ethiopians had a monstrous invasion force, Asa and his people, with God taking the lead, is able to repel them. Verse 13. Asa and his people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar. And that's one of the streams that drains from around Beersheba down into the Mediterranean. And so it kind of marks one of the interior border lines within the nation of Judah. It's a stream that has to be crossed. So they chased them that far, and the Ethiopians fell until none remained alive, for they were broken before he who is and his army, and the men of Judah carried away very much spoil. So they pick up all the gear that this invading force had with them, and they take them as plunder. They attacked all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of he who is was upon them. They plundered all the cities, for there was much plunder in them. The cities that they're attacking are actually cities that are not occupied by Judeans, by Israeli peoples, Israeli citizens. These are foreigners that have moved in during the weaker years after the fall of the Solomonic Kingdom. And they struck down the tents of those who had livestock and carried away sheep in abundance and camels. And then they returned to Jerusalem. So we've had a victory given supernaturally by God to the Judeans in about the 15th year of Asa. And so Asa decides to use this time as a call to full revival. And so verse number one of chapter 15, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. So this is a prophet. And he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. He who is with you while you are with him." Now listen to that principle. God had told them from the very beginning of his relationship with this family group that I will support you as long as you trust me, as long as you live according to the covenant that I've given you. But when you don't trust me, when you do things in opposition to what I tell you to do, I am not going to help you anymore until you're ready to come back, to repent, and get back into right relationship with me. So this is a reminder from the prophet. The reason you won this big victory is because you were on God's side. Continuing, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. And so that's kind of a reference to the different times in Israeli history, particularly during the period of the Judges, that they had these dry spiritual times because of their disobedience. But continuing, verse number 4, but when in their distress they turned to he who is the God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. That's the principle again. God wants repentance. He wants to have relationship. But he waits until you come and seek it. Think about Hebrews chapter number 11 that that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Because they have to believe that he is, and that he is that God who rewards with relationship those that are looking for it. So that's an Old Testament principle as well as a New Testament one. Verse number 5. In those times there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in, for great disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the land. So again, the prophet is talking about the negative times in history. When they weren't following God, bad stuff happened. Verse number 6, they were broken in pieces. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every sort of distress. But you, take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. So he's urging them. Take note of what just happened. God gave you victory over a much superior invasion force because you trusted him. Now just follow through with that same trust so that you can experience the blessings of God. Verse number 8. As soon as Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Azariah, the son of Odet, he took courage and put away the detestable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities that he had taken in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of He Who Is that was in front of the vestibule of the house of He Who Is. Now think about this. At this point, we're talking about a period about 36 years after the split between the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel, the death of King Solomon. So that means we're roughly 60 or so years from the beginning of the temple being the worship site of United Israel, when the temple was brand new. And already it says here that the altar was suffering from deterioration because it was not being taken care of by the people. It also reports here that the southern kingdom of Judah, over time, had allowed the worship of other gods and goddesses to take place inside the boundaries of their kingdom. And we know, because we've talked about it before, that sometimes it was more blatant than others. So Asa, who is 15 years into his kingdom now, has decided that the best thing that could happen for his kingdom is a revival. And that revival is indicated by the worship of the true and living God and showing him the honor and respect that he is due. And that means repairing the altar and getting rid of all the idols that have crept in over the last 30-some years. So verse number 9, he gathered all Judah and Benjamin. So that's the tribes that have been under the Davidic kingdom since the split. Judah includes the tribe of Simeon, and Benjamin is kind of that border tribe to the north, where at least some of them have stuck with Judah. And then it says, and those from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who were residing with them, for great numbers had deserted to him from Israel when they saw that He Who Is his God was with him. So when the kingdom first split, remember there were a lot of individuals from all the different tribes in the north who came and joined the kingdom of Rehoboam. So those people are already here. When Asa comes to power and he starts signaling that he is going to worship the true and living God and do things the right way, there are some people in the north, inside the tribal regions of Manasseh and Ephraim. They see that, and they repent and decide that they don't want to be part of the northern kingdom. They'd rather be part of the southern kingdom. So they move as well. So we've got another bit of immigration that's happening out of the north. And then verse number 10. It says, they were gathered at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And so that's the reason why I'm giving the date that I'm giving. And they sacrificed to He Who Is on that day from the spoil that they had brought 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. So if that represents some sort of 10% of what they took from the invading forces, then that gives you a sense of just how much plunder they took. They entered into a covenant to seek He Who Is, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. Now, keep in mind, this is a new generation after the fall of United Israel. This is a brand new generation that is rediscovering a relationship with the true and living God. And so they need to make a new commitment. So Asa, we actually refer to as pretty much the first revivalist king of the southern kingdom of Judah. And he takes the lead in helping them make this public declaration that they are going to go back to the proper worship of the God who is. Verse 13. But that whoever would not seek He Who Is, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. So they're getting serious enough about this that they say, we're going back to the full-fledged instructions of the Word of God. And that is, anybody that's not on board with the covenant of Israel, with He Who Is, they are traitors to God. They are treasonous, rebellious members of our society, and they will be treated as such. They will be executed. So verse 14, they swore an oath to He Who Is with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with horns. And all Judah rejoiced over the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and had sought Him with their whole desire, and He was found by them, and He Who Is gave them rest all around. So what we're going to discover now is that these choices are going to bring about a 10-year period of peace, and that Asa will be a prosperous king during this period of time. Now, we've got different places that provide information here. We've got some that's right here, but I want to go back to 2 Chronicles 14:1 at this point. We'd skipped over it earlier because I was trying to save it for now. 1 Chronicles 14:1, verse number 2, where it says, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of He Who Is his God. So that's the general description of his attitude when he first comes to power. And then we get into the specifics of what he did once he came back from this Ethiopian victory. It says, verse 3, he took away the foreign altars and the high places and broke down all the pillars and cut down the Asherim. So once he realizes that Judah needs to revive itself to the covenant, he goes through his country and he destroys anything that is devoted to the worship of other gods and goddesses, including these Asherim, which are devoted to the god Asherah. The pillars that are mentioned here are probably devoted to the god Baal. Verse number 4. And commanded Judah to seek He Who Is, the God of their fathers, and to keep the law and the commandments. Verse number 5, he also took out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the incense altars, and the kingdom had rest under him. He built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, for he who is gave him peace. And he said to Judah, let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is still ours because we've sought he who is our God. We've sought him and he has given us peace on every side. And so he built and he prospered. So his religious reforms are also associated with reforms of security to keep his people safe as they worship the one and only God. Now, back to 2 Chronicles 15:16. 2 Chronicles 15:16. Even Maacah, his mother, King Asa removed from being queen mother because she had made a detestable image for Asherah. Asa cut down her image, crushed it, and burned it in the brook Kidron. So his mother, possibly grandmother, I think might be in mind here, who is kind of left over from an earlier king, she has been taking the lead in worshiping Asherah. And Asa doesn't care that he's related to her. He only wants to get rid of all the unrighteous things that have been put in place since the time of the temple. And so he demolishes his own mother or grandmother's idol and burns it up in the Kidron Valley, which is on the east side of the city of Jerusalem. Verse number 17, but the high places were not taken out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly true all his days. Now that seems to be a reference to the fact that in northern Israel, the idols remained in place because that's not under his control. He has some of the places up there on the border that he's taken control of, that he can remove the stuff out of, but he doesn't have control of the northern kingdom of Israel. But Asa is doing his best to do things God's way. Verse number 18. He brought into the house of God the sacred gifts of his father and his own sacred gifts, silver and gold and vessels, and there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So his actions brought on a 10-year peace. And then we have trouble coming from the north. And this is kind of where we'll set up for next week. 1 Kings chapter number 15. 1 Kings chapter number 15, verse 17 is where I want to go next to the description. We've been following Asa quite a bit. He's the king in southern Judah. But remember, there is a man by the name of Baasha that is in control of the northern kingdom. And he assassinated the last member of the Jeroboam dynasty right before him. And he and Asa had been fighting over the border for a while. And then peace broke out because of Asa's religious reforms and his revival. Then in the 36th year, verse 17, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might permit no one to go out or to come in to Asa, king of Judah. So the northern king, Baasha, decides that he is going to go down and reinforce his border with Judah. And he apparently takes control of the city of Ramah. That's where the city of Ramallah is today. And he makes this his strong border city. And he refuses to let anyone from northern Israel to pass into southern Judah. Now, why would he do that? Because that's where the temple's at, and he does not want any of his citizens going down there and participating in this He Who Is revival. He's got his own gods and goddesses that he wants them to be worshiping, and so he has slammed down the border crossings between the two countries. What Asa does next is unwise and represents a little lack of faith. But we will tell that part of the story next week when we get back into the Word.